You'll turn with me in your Bibles to Titus chapter 1. While we're turning there, it's just an exciting time to be here from Wagga. And we in April, ordained a young man in our church as well. I know Brother Gavin and Brother Lee were involved in that as well. And it was a blessing, but a blessing to be able to come up here and be involved in the ordination of two young men that desire to go out and serve the Lord. And just a wonderful thing. I'd like to thank everyone for their hospitality. It's just been wonderful here, and I'm sure the pastors echo that, that we've been blessed and encouraged. It was great to be involved yesterday with the examination of the two men. They might have felt that it was probably a little bit tough on them, but it was a blessing, and I hope they will be encouraged and remember that day yesterday. I will. I was greatly encouraged. And before I read in Titus, I'll just read 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." And these two young men desire to do a good work. Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, we see that the Apostle Paul is instructing Titus in the churches at Crete to ordain elders. Chapter 1 and verse 5. "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that were wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer." And so these men were to be set aside by Titus. Titus had been left in Crete to set in order or to straighten further, to arrange additionally the church there, get it organized so that it can function properly. And it is all about the church. And he was told to ordain elders. Ordain means to place down permanently, to designate or to appoint. And it's to be done by the church. And it's interesting that if you read right at the end of Titus, sometimes we don't read those little messages after, it says, it was written to Titus, ordained the first bishop of the church of Cretans from Nicopolis of Macedonia. So Titus was part of the church. He was the pastor of the church at Crete, and he was going to ordain other men to carry on the work there. And so it's all part of the church. This word to set down or to permanently designate or appoint is used of the deacons in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Same word. And they were to set them down. Who was to do that? But the church was. It was to be done by the church. And it's done also of the Lord Jesus Christ, set or ordained over the works of thy hands in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 7. So we get this idea. And both Timotheus and Titus had been ordained as bishops or as elders, placed down permanently, designated to the job that they had in the church. And so this idea of placing down permanently and designating these two men today has had an ongoing thing. It's been an ongoing thing in their lives. God has been working in them and using them, no doubt, and the church now is recognizing them to do this work. The 3 points that I'd like to quickly look at, I know I've only got 15 minutes, 3 points that I'd like to look at this morning is the fact that there is a selection. They need to be selected. Secondly, They are sealed by the laying on of hands, and then finally support. It's a charge to the church to keep on supporting them. First of all, they must meet qualifications. Yesterday I was blessed to hear of their salvation testimony. Amen. It's always good to hear of a salvation testimony, how God works a miracle in a person's life. They need to be baptized. They need to be members of the church. They need to be actively serving. That's how you recognize them. You don't grab somebody and say, I think that you're qualified to do these things. You've got all the... They need to be recognized. They need to be doing the work. And they need to be actively serving in the church. And I think that's something that we heard yesterday as well. If you turn to Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, you see that men that were already serving were considered for this job. These men, and there were, five of them that were recognized. Where did I say? Acts chapter 13. I'm going to lose that in a minute. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were in the church that were at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered. You see, they were doing the work. They were already ministering. Ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. These men were going to be taken and sent out. These were the quality men in the church. These were men that were serving. These were men that were teaching already in the church, and God said, send them out. And so they were recognized. These men were Spirit-filled men. Even the deacons that were chosen were Spirit-filled men in Acts chapter 6. And so these men needed to have qualifications, and then they needed to meet further qualifications, not just to be saved, not just to be baptized, not just to be actively serving, but they and Spirit-filled and Spirit-directed, but they need to have the other qualifications. And this needed to be and has been happening, I believe, in this church, observing these men, making sure that they've had those things, and it's a church thing. We as men coming up, we don't know their backgrounds. We don't know what they've been doing in the church, but here in the church here, you do. And they need to be blameless. The husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. They need to be blameless as the stewards of God, not self-willed. That means not self-pleasing, not soon angry, not given to wine, no strike, and not given to filthy lucre. That means greedy gain. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he had taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. They need to be sound in their doctrine. And that's what we were doing yesterday, checking out whether there were any quirks that might need to be ironed out. And I'm sure Pastor Buddy and Pastor Bernie, thank you, middle block. Pastor Bernie have been checking that out all the way through. And so that's a good thing. So there needs to be this selection criteria. This is done by the church. And men that have come in this weekend have been asked by the church to do this examination. It's all of the church. And it's a church responsibility. And I praise the Lord for it yesterday. And then we see that once they've checked out, once they meet these requirements, then there is that sealing. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1 and 3, there's that sealing of laying on of hands. It's an unusual thing. We don't usually see it a lot in church, do we? We don't see every day people laying on of hands. And we see these men, verse 2, it says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. There was this laying on of hands. And it seems a little bit strange because we're not used to it. The Jews had a practice of laying on of hands in different occasions to impart blessings. They would lay hands on people. when praying specifically for someone, they would lay hands on people. They would lay their hands on the head of a sacrifice, confessing their sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ laid hands on children when he was praying for them. I remember reading a story about Ira Sankey, who laid his hands on a gypsy boy and prayed for him, and prayed that God would make him a great preacher. That was Gypsy Smith, the great evangelist. What's in a name? I don't know. But he did. He laid his hands on Gypsy Smith. And years later, he came back and said, "Do you remember a little gypsy boy that you laid your hands on and prayed for? That's me. That's me." And so today we are going to be laying hands on two men that are going to be going out in the ministry. And that's what we're saying, that the church is sealing these men, as it were, laying them down permanently for a ministry, for the work that God has set them aside. It's a church responsibility. So there's the selection and there's the sealing. How am I going? And there's... And there's the support. I was threatened I was going to be pulled out of the pulpit. That's why I'm worried. I'm scared. Okay. All right. It's a church responsibility to support these men. And this is a charge to the church. We need to continue on and support these men. It's not done and dusted when we, you know, lay hands on them, pray for them, pray over them, and say, "That's it. We're done. They're on their own." No, it's a church thing. We need to be supporting them and making sure that it doesn't just stop with this ordination. We need to be prayerfully considering these men as individuals and corporately as a church, praying for them that they're in their ministry. Because without the power of prayer, they're done. We older gentlemen in the ministry know what it's like. We need the prayer of our congregations. We need the prayer of individuals. We need prayer. We are just as vulnerable as anyone in this congregation, I can tell you. And probably more vulnerable because we're in the front of the firing line. And so we need to have prayer for these guys. We need to support them physically. Sometimes we will need to go and encourage them. We will need to do administration things for them. They will need the deacons of the church to support them. That's what the deacons are there for, to encourage and support. They will need prayer leaders done. They will need banking, organization, all those sorts of things, the support that needs to go in for them. Fiscally, they will need monetary support. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, they're due double honor, especially those that labor in the word. Support. They'll need support of encouragement. Times in the past, you become very discouraged. Helen and I have come up. We've been discouraged by certain personal things that have been going on in our lives. And we've come up here. God knew that we had to come up. God really knew that we had to come up. We've been blessed. We've been encouraged. These guys are going to need encouragement in their ministry. From this church, the church at Mackay, from other churches, from our churches where the pastors have come, they're going to need encouragement from time to time. We need to support them. And so ordination isn't just an individual thing. Ordination is not the men that are going to pray over these guys. Ordination is this church in Malanda. Ordination is from the church in Mackay. And it's a blessing, and you should be blessed. You should be encouraged that this is happening in this church. You should be encouraged that you're able to send men out. If there are any young men here that are thinking about ministry and thinking about what God wants them to do in their life, think seriously about it. You won't be alone if the church does it properly. You won't be alone. So my challenge to the church, you've done the selecting, you've done the sealing's going to happen today, but please support these men. Encourage these men. Pray for these men. Help these men. Because it doesn't finish here. Let us pray. Loving God and Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your goodness today. And Lord, we do pray for Chris and David. We pray, Lord, that you will be with them and bless them in their ministry. But Lord, we do pray for the churches. Lord, we pray for the church here in Melanda. We pray for the church in Mackay. And Lord, that they would support these men. Lord, that the challenge would be taken up. That they would pray for them sincerely. That they would pray for them in the Spirit. Lord, that they would pray for them in love. Lord, I pray that they would support them physically, that they would pray for them, support them fiscally and also in encouragement, Lord. Father, we pray that, Lord, through this, the whole church, or the two churches, Lord, that they would just see God working in a wonderful way in and through these two young men. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.